Hurricane season starts in less than 2 weeks, but in Washington, the storm has arrived, and it's already Category 4.
We hear from some quarters nothing but feigned outrage based on a false narrative.
That's the former Vice President Dick Cheney yesterday, and just a few blocks away was the president.
In dealing with a situation, we don't have the luxury of starting from scratch. We're cleaning up something that is quite simply a mess.
High winds and high stakes on national security. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, May 22nd. John Hockenberry is away. I'm Todd Zwillick, and Catherine Lanfer is here with me. Good morning, Catherine.
Hey, good morning, Todd. Coming up this hour, we go to New Orleans for hurricane season and to Beirut for election season, plus another look at the terror plot in New York. All this and more, but first, these headlines.
A freshly passed bill adds tens of billions of dollars to the U.S. war effort in Afghanistan, but it cuts out money that President Obama wanted to close down Guantanamo Bay Prison. The Senate passed more than $91 billion in war funding last night, and starting next year, the war in Afghanistan will overtake the cost of Iraq. The bill passed overwhelmingly. A final bill should be ready for the president to sign by next month. A bill with big changes for credit cards is also ready to go now. The president will sign it this afternoon. It places new restrictions on companies' ability to jack up interest rates on credit cards. It also makes it harder for people under 21 to get cards. The card companies basically hate that provision. Analysts say they may try to make up for lost profits by raising fees or scrapping reward programs, Catherine.
Before he signs the bill, the president has another graduation speech to give. Later this morning, he'll speak at the commencement at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis. Among the graduates, John Sidney McCain IV. You may have heard of his father. Senator John McCain, the president's rival in 2008, is another Naval Academy grad, and he'll be in the audience today. And after all the bills are signed and the speeches are given, the president and his family will spend the holiday weekend at Camp David. Looking overseas, the UN wants more than $500 million to help refugees fleeing the war in Pakistan. The Pakistani army in a tough fight with Taliban militants in the Swat Valley and elsewhere.
Well, weather permitting, Atlantis astronauts will touch down later this morning. NASA's waiting for the rain to quit in Florida. If it stays wet, the shuttle can try again tomorrow or reroute to California or New Mexico. The budget choice is Cape Canaveral, though. If Atlantis lands across the country, it costs nearly $2 million to haul it back to Florida. Speaking of money, the S&P and Dow each lost more than 1.5%. The S&P is at 888. The Dow will start trading at 8292. Well, we're heading into a holiday weekend, so today might be a tough day to concentrate.
Huh?
Catherine.
What?
Focus.
Oh, sorry.
We're talking about concentration.
Thinking of the cabin.
We're talking about concentration. We're talking about being rapt with attention on what you're doing. But we face distractions every single day. Like maybe
you turned off your BlackBerry, right?
It's off. I promise.
Better be.
It's off. We want to know, everybody, what distracts you the most? Is it text messages? Is it IMs? I know that Catherine has a problem with Twitter. Maybe email. What's your strategy for staying focused? We want your stories. We want your focus. We'll stay focused, but tell us your stories at 8778-MYTAKE. Email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Stay focused. Finish your message. We want to know.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning. I'm Catherine Lanfer.
And I'm Todd Zwillick. Former Vice President Dick Cheney spoke in Washington yesterday and positioned himself only a few blocks away and only a few minutes after a speech by the president on America's national security strategy. Cheney defended his views on the interrogation tactics he helped to implement under the Bush administration.
Today I want to set forth the strategic thinking behind our policies. I do so as one who was there every day of the Bush administration, who supported the policies when they were made, and without hesitation would do so again in the same circumstances.
Well, Vice President Cheney isn't vice president anymore, but he's sure not giving up on criticism or on aggressive debate or on trying to get what he wants out of Washington. So we're going to talk with someone who can hopefully help us get inside Dick Cheney's brain a little bit. Jake Bernstein is a reporter for ProPublica, and he's co-author of the Cheney biography, Vice, Dick Cheney and the Hijacking of the American Presidency. Jake, Cheney, the former vice president, said yesterday, in effect, that if he had the chance to do all of this all over again, he would do it exactly the same way. Is that the Dick Cheney that you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is not a guy who second guesses himself or you know, changes his mind later on. I mean, he's very consistent.
Okay, he's very consistent, so he doesn't change his mind like maybe a lot of men his age, certainly a lot of politicians his age, I guess. But it's a longstanding tradition in Washington that former presidents, former vice presidents kind of fade into the background a little bit and let the new administration do their work. But Cheney's not doing that at all. He's not only speaking out, he's scheduling a speech right after Obama's. He schedules it a few blocks away from the National Archives in Washington. Does this kind of behavior surprise you at all?
Yeah, what is that old saying? We can't miss you if you won't go away. this is very unorthodox for a vice president or a president to speak out like this. But given the stakes and how firmly and passionately he believes in this stuff, ultimately, I don't think I'm surprised.
Okay, well, let me play you another cut from the speech yesterday because it sort of goes back to what you were saying, that the vice president is a man who doesn't change his mind, but he's also commenting on how we're going to change our national security strategy now that there's a new administration in town.
I was and remain a strong proponent of our enhanced interrogation program. The interrogations were used on hardened terrorists after other efforts had failed. They were legal, essential, justified, successful, and the right thing to do.
Anything new from the vice president here? Have we heard all this before? Is there anything new in his message yesterday?
Well, we've heard it before, but I mean, there's certainly evidence out there that seems to contradict what he said. I mean, it's not clear or decided that other techniques wouldn't have worked just as well. And in fact, the FBI was getting some results from sort of regular interrogation before torture was used or enhanced interrogation techniques, whatever they're calling it. So, I mean, the vice president likes to speak with firmness and as if all these matters are closed. But it's not quite as clear-cut as he laid out in the speech.
You know, there's been some suggestion that at the end of the Bush administration, Dick Cheney had to keep quiet, even though things weren't always going his way, that some of the policy was strained from his direction. So whose legacy is he trying to protect here with all of these speeches?
Well, I think he's definitely it's not just his legacy that he's trying to protect, although that's clearly part of it, but it's an ideology that he's trying to protect. You know, he believes in a strong executive. He believes in this wartime president that has sort of unfettered power, and he's going to fight for that. I mean, that's something that he wants. You know, he thinks the direction of America should be, and he's not going to back away from that. There's also a loyalty factor here, and you can see it in this speech. I mean, the way he ends, his closest aides were in the forefront of pushing this policy, in particular David Addington, who was his legal counsel and then his chief of staff. And so he's going to do everything he can to try and protect them.
Because he might be, well, Addington and John Yoo and potentially Jay Bybee, who's a judge now, were all lawyers at the Office of Legal Counsel, and there's potential legal trouble for them ahead. Do you think he's trying to sort of preemptively defend them in the court of public opinion?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're not people who can particularly speak out, and he can. And he's very. I mean, he believes that loyalty is very important. He was very upset about what happened to his former chief of staff, and so he's
Scooter Libby. Yeah,
Scooter Libby, and so he's not going to he's going to try to avoid that happening to his other lieutenant.
Okay, so motivations aside, Jake, what can the vice? I want to ask, how well can the former vice president really affect the debate in Washington? Is he trying to affect it on an emotional ground, on a policy ground. Certainly the Republicans in Congress have been throwing bombs on Nancy Pelosi for who knew what and when. It seems like almost like a political attack. Is Cheney trying to shift the debate on policy grounds? What's he trying to do here?
Well, it's really interesting, actually, because John McCain told a reporter yesterday that, you know, obviously the vice president can speak if he wants. He's free to talk. But McCain said, "I just don't see where it helps." Uh-huh. I mean, I think there are a lot of Republicans who would love to see Dick Cheney go away. And I, in a lot of ways, I think this helps Obama. It allows him to form to crystallize sort of an opposing idea. Cheney is sort of a straw man. I mean, I think it's a good thing for Democrats probably. So I'm not entirely sure how effective Cheney will be in pushing his thought across. I mean, there's some speculation that he wants these ideas out there in case, heaven forbid, there is another terrorist attack, and then he can say, "I told you so."
Mm-hmm.
But what the effect of this will be or how long Cheney will be able to sustain his argument remains to be seen.
All right. Well, let's hear from the president, because we've spent this entire segment talking about the former vice president, his criticisms of the current administration. Let's give a listen to Barack Obama. It sounds like a rebuttal, but his speech actually came first yesterday. So let's give a listen to this.
"I know some have argued that brutal methods like waterboarding were necessary to keep us safe. I could not disagree more. As Commander-in-Chief, I see the intelligence. I bear the responsibility for keeping this country safe. And I categorically reject the assertion that these are the most effective means of interrogation."
Applause line. So the president knew what the vice president, the former vice president, was going to say before he said it.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't any surprises here, not really from the president and certainly not from the vice president, a former vice president. I mean, their positions at this point are pretty clear.
Okay, then let me ask you about the politics real quick, because there is also a school of thought in Washington. Well, there's not a school of thought. There is a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. They're in the minority in the House and the Senate. They don't have the White House. And you sort of see this battle of Republicans trying to decide who they're going to be in the future. One school of thought says, well, the country might be more moderate than we are. They elected Barack Obama. They sent us into the minority, even in conservative districts across the country. We need to appeal to a much broader swath of the American public. And here comes Dick Cheney. He's been on TV more than once. Basically saying, no, we have to crystallize our party, be more conservative, more defined, maybe spend a couple years in the wilderness and tell people who we really are. So it seems to me that there's a political element also to what he's doing.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a really important subtext, Todd. Cheney sort of espouses and embodies a certain kind of authoritarianism strain in the Republican Party, and he thinks that that's not only an important, you know, ideologically and correct ideologically, but it's a winning strategy. I mean, I really think that Cheney probably believes that at some point or another, the country is going to want more of that authoritarianism, and if the Republican Party stays true to that, then they will be there when the country needs that.
Okay, but you just mentioned McCain and other Republicans who are saying he can talk when he wants, but it doesn't necessarily help us. Are Republicans going to continue to allow him to have this bully pulpit?
Well, I mean, there's not much they can do about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he's got the think tanks, and he's supposedly working on a book, and I think we're going to have Cheney for a while.
You think we've got Cheney for a while?
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, heaven forbid something happens to him,
okay.
But I don't think he's going away. I mean, this is not one final lap. I think he's got a lot more laps left in him.
Okay, well, more debate to come on national security, more debate to come on the future of the Republican Party. We expect the former Vice President, Dick Cheney, to be part of it all. He's not going anywhere. Catherine, Jake Bernstein is a reporter for ProPublica, co-author of the Cheney biography, Vice, Dick Cheney, and the Hijacking of the American Presidency.
You know, he said no middle ground on national security. There's really no middle ground on his politics either.
Well, there isn't, but somebody has found middle ground on national security. It appears to be President Obama, which might be right where he wants to be, which is
interesting. We'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.